You're listening to an African Elements top news story for May 26, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the Nigerian military rescue reveals a deep security crisis. On May 24, 2026, the Nigerian military achieved a critical operational breakthrough in Borno State. During a sweeping rescue mission, security forces successfully intercepted a group of armed militants and liberated 92 hostages. The rescue occurred along the busy Buratai-Kamuya Road within the Biu local government area. The saved hostages consisted of 52 men, 33 women, and 7 children who were being marched into the dense forest. While local and international media celebrated this tactical operation, the headline only scratches the surface of a deep crisis. For the global African diaspora, understanding the complex historical layers of this crisis is essential. This rescue is the latest chapter in a struggle that spans over 2 decades. To understand how Nigeria arrived at this point, we must look beyond the immediate victory. We must examine the roots of radicalization, the economic shift of mass kidnapping, and the modern geopolitics of counterterrorism in the region. The historical roots of this conflict trace back to 2002 in Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State. A charismatic Islamic cleric named Muhammad Yusuf established a movement known as Jama'atu Ahlis Sunnah Lida Awati Wal Jihad, which local populations called Boko Haram. The name translates from the Hausa language as Western education is forbidden. Yusuf designed his group around the strict principles of Salafism. Salafism is an ultra-conservative reform branch within Sunni Islam that seeks to restore early Islamic religious practices. Followers of this movement base their lives on the first 3 generations of Muslims, whom they refer to as the pious predecessors. This movement rejects centuries of religious development, which they view as corrupt innovations. Scholars generally divide Salafism into quietist, activist, and jihadist categories. While quietists focus on peaceful study, jihadists advocate for armed struggle to build an Islamic state. Yusuf preached that Western education and secular political structures were corrupting Islamic society. He argued that only a strict enforcement of Sharia law could heal the deep economic inequalities in northern Nigeria. Tensions between the followers of Yusuf and local authorities boiled over in July 2009, resulting in a full-scale armed uprising. The Nigerian military responded with a brutal crackdown that crushed the rebellion and led to the arrest of Muhammad Yusuf. Yusuf died while in police custody shortly after his arrest, an event that radicalized his followers and drove the movement underground. His deputy, Abubakar Shekau, assumed control of the group in 2010. Under the leadership of Shekau, the faction abandoned its isolationist views and launched a highly violent, asymmetric insurgency targeting military outposts, markets, churches, and mosques. This conflict occurred within a nation already divided by legal and religious systems. In 1999, Zamfara State became the first of 12 northern Nigerian states to implement Sharia as a complete body of civil and criminal law. This legal dualism created a sharp regional polarization between the Muslim-majority North and the Christian-dominated South. Specialized institutions like the Hizbah Religious Police were created to enforce these laws in northern states. Critics argued that adopting Sharia weakened the national constitution and created a state within a state, adding to regional and social tensions. The recent rescue of 92 abductees is part of a systemic crisis of mass kidnapping that became a defining feature of the conflict 12 years ago. On April 14, 2014, Boko Haram fighters invaded a secondary school in Chibok, Borno State, and abducted 276 schoolgirls. The incident generated global outrage and inspired the international movement to bring back the girls. While many girls eventually escaped or were freed, 82 Chibok girls remain in captivity as of 2026. The Chibok kidnapping fundamentally changed the financial dynamics of the insurgency. Militant groups quickly realized that kidnapping was a highly profitable business for them. They discovered that the government and private families were willing to pay enormous ransoms to secure the safe release of hostages. For those seeking the true meaning of freedom, these numbers tell a story of endurance. Over the last decade, this economic model has spread far beyond religious extremists, giving rise to local criminal syndicates across the country. As the financial and territorial footprint of the insurgency grew, internal division fractured the militant leadership. In March 2015, Abubakar Shekau pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, renaming the group the Islamic State West Africa Province, or ISWAP. However, the extreme tactics of Shekau, such as using young girls as suicide bombers and targeting ordinary Muslim civilians, clashed with the core instructions of the central ISIS leadership. This ideological disagreement led to a major split within the movement. In August 2016, the central leadership of the Islamic State recognized Abu Musab al-Barnawi, the son of founder Muhammad Yusuf, as the official leader of ISWAP. Shekau rejected this decision, causing a violent civil war between his loyalists and the new ISWAP faction. Shekau reverted his faction back to its original name, while ISWAP focused on building local alliances and attacking military targets rather than civilians. In May 2021, ISWAP forces cornered Shekau in his forest stronghold. Rather than surrender, Shekau chose to detonate a suicide vest, ending his decade-long reign of terror. His death left ISWAP as the dominant jihadi force in northeastern Nigeria. While jihadi factions remain dominant in the northeast, a different security threat has taken over the northwest. Local populations refer to these armed criminal syndicates as bandits. Bandits operate in highly mobile, forest-based units that use motorcycles to launch sudden, violent raids on rural communities. Unlike Boko Haram, these criminal gangs are not motivated by religious ideology. Instead, their actions are driven by severe poverty, rural neglect, and the collapse of local agricultural economies. These mobile groups make their money through cattle rustling, mass kidnappings, and looting local farms. The scale of this crisis has grown rapidly due to a broken criminal justice system and corruption among local police forces. This study of structural oppression mirrors lessons taught in the academic discipline of Black Studies, where historical neglect often drives modern crises. Land disputes, high unemployment, and the failure of state border management have left rural communities highly vulnerable to these criminal syndicates. The rise of banditry is deeply connected to severe environmental degradation. Climate change and rapid desertification in northern Nigeria have depleted critical water and land resources. This depletion has caused intense clashes between nomadic Fulani pastoralists and sedentary Hausa farmers over grazing rights. Traditional pastoralism has transformed into a well-armed, defensive network of groups, leading to a massive flow of small arms across the borderlands. High youth unemployment and the lack of state security have left these rural areas highly vulnerable to recruitment by criminal gangs. These environmental and economic forces have created a cycle of violence that traditional military solutions cannot easily solve.
Without addressing these root causes, tactical military victories will only provide temporary relief for local populations. In response to these complex threats, the military launched Operation Hadin Kai. The name translates to unity or cooperation in the Hausa language. The military renamed the operation in 2021 to emphasize civil-military cooperation and humanitarian projects rather than pure military force. This counterinsurgency campaign has received substantial support from the United States military. The United States operates under a doctrine called by, with, and through, keeping Western troops in a supportive training role. U.S. Africa Command, or AFRICOM, coordinates these intelligence and logistical efforts. This cooperation led to a major victory on May 15, 2026, when a joint operation killed senior ISWAP leader Abu Bilal al-Minuki. However, the military presence of AFRICOM remains highly controversial, with critics warning that it violates national sovereignty and militarizes foreign policy. Despite recent tactical successes, the military campaign faces serious accusations of human rights abuses. Local communities have accused the military of extrajudicial executions and arbitrary detentions of innocent civilians. Indiscriminate and accidental military airstrikes have also caused heavy civilian casualties, such as a tragic strike in January 2023 that killed 39 people in Nasarawa. Once rescued, the survivors face an underfunded and difficult rehabilitation process. International groups try to provide counseling and medical care at temporary transit centers, but long-term support is severely lacking. Female survivors often face intense social ostracism and stigma when they return home, especially if they became pregnant during captivity.
Note how state-sponsored violence,
and punitive security strategies often parallel Western mass incarceration trends that penalize vulnerable communities instead of repairing social safety nets. The rescue of 92 abductees in Borno State is a powerful victory for the soldiers of Operation Hadin Kai. It brings hope to families who have suffered under the terror of kidnapping. Yet, history shows that guns and airstrikes alone cannot build a lasting peace. To secure the region, the government must address the root causes of the crisis, including climate change, rural poverty, and institutional neglect. Only by investing in education, social justice, and economic opportunity can Nigeria truly break the cycle of violence and secure the future of its people. Copyright, African Elements.